Connecticut just wrapped up its 2026 legislative session where the budget was absolutely the priority. But in a recent headline, it was touting just how much work got done during a short session. This article reading, "The Connecticut legislature celebrating the passage of 218 bills this session. It matches the amount of bills passed in 2025, despite being a shorter session than last year." But I wanted to talk more about the key takeaways, including the budget, which in some regard was kind of a quick fix. Not to say that we are not grateful for the money that we're getting, but at some point, there's going to be payback time or there are going to be cuts again if we don't find permanent solutions, which was really supposed to be the focus of this legislative session. And that's not a partisan statement. That is a taxpayer, a Connecticut resident statement. And we knew affordability was going to be the theme for both parties. It was just, how are we going to attack it appropriately? So joining us now is Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding to get some of those key takeaways from the legislative session. And welcome back. We appreciate it, Senator Harding. How are you?
Melissa, I'm doing well, and thanks for having me on. Always good to be on with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. Did you already run your 6 miles before you came on the show?
I read that. I did, actually.
Of course you did.
Of course you did. I got two little ones. So I get up around 4:30 if I can. So today was one of the days where you know what it's like to get up early. So today was one of the days where I got up and was able to get my run in. So now I'm working, talking to you, and tackling the rest of the day.
So okay. Good. So for those at home who have no idea why I'm bringing this up, there was an article written on the final day of the legislative session. Steve Harding decided to run 6 miles instead of taking a nap, essentially, and which is just crazy in and of itself. But side note, if I know you're getting up at 4:30, I am never going to feel bad reaching out to you in the middle of the night ever again. Ever again.
Anytime.
Done.
I always joke to my friends and my colleagues that you're better off getting me at 4 a.m. than probably 9:30 at night. I'm gonna early to bed, early to rise type of person.
Me too. Totally. Well, that's good to know. It's good to know that there's like 6 people who are like that, and I never feel bad about texting in the middle of the night, and you're one of them. So that's good to know.
Yep.
Good to know.
You're welcome.
Well, Senator Harding, let's talk about the key takeaways. I mean, obviously the budget was the big priority. But it's interesting. You actually, it was a day after the session wrapped up, and I know Governor Lamont does his annual press conference of what was good, what was not so good, where did we miss the mark. Obviously, the Democratic Party very proud of this year's budget, and I think there was, you know, certainly bipartisan support in the amount of aid that was going out to municipalities, to education funds. I don't think anybody disagreed with using the money for education and for early childhood and things of that nature. But where I felt there was a real difference, and you could certainly correct me, is this budget to me was a quick fix. Hey, we've got all this money. Let's dump it into education, for example. Yeah. Great. Let's help with the revals. Great. However, what do you do after next year? Right. Once we get into the next session and we don't have $15 million to send to Bridgeport schools, for example? What happens in that next school year? And that was my biggest concern with the budget, was this was a real opportunity where maybe we wouldn't get the financial relief up front, but we could have had more concrete solutions where we're not kind of chasing our tails in a year or two, making up that money again or having cuts again.
You're exactly right. I mean, and this is the type of practices, as I mentioned to you earlier, when we discussed budgets up in Hartford, that I saw when I first got up there, that led to huge deficits, led to historic tax increases. And that's the reason I voted against the budget, because I don't think there was anything substantive long term in there. Was there good spending? There was certainly some wasteful spending still, despite that. But is there spending in there that everyone can get behind, like educational funding? Of course. But my issue is it's a one-time fix. And just coincidentally, it's a one-time fix leading up to an election year. That's not lost on me, and it shouldn't be lost to the general public. So when we all get reelected, or for those that do get reelected, and you go back up there, all of a sudden you're starting back at zero again. That's unhealthy budgeting. It's unhealthy for municipalities who are able to rely on the financing this particular session or this particular year for their budget, but then ultimately is left in the hole or is questioning what is coming to them in future years, particularly after an election as opposed to before. It's very dangerous fiscally, and it's the same exact type of policies that led us to the huge deficits that we faced just, you know, less than a decade ago, that led to historic tax increases. And that's what scares me. And I think what also is not getting discussed much is, This budget openly, not even get with gimmicks, because usually they do it with gimmicks up there, but this budget openly and boldly overspends the spending cap by $500 million. The governor declared an emergency, and by him doing so, allowed the legislature to spend in this particular budget nearly $500 million beyond the spending cap. So it's very reckless. It's fiscally irresponsible. And again, it's not sustainable for municipalities. And on top of that, you know, Melissa, you talk about affordability. What bothers me is this. You know, you brag about the budget. You brag about the 236 or so bills that passed. What truly changed the lives of day-to-day Connecticut residents in terms of making this state more affordable? You know, we didn't suspend any gas taxes. We didn't reduce any income taxes. We really didn't do anything this session to reduce the public benefit charge or your electric bills at all. In fact, we passed a bill that is going to increase your electric bills down the road. And so I really have a hard time applauding 236 bills getting passed at a time where our people in our state are facing an affordability crisis and really nothing is getting returned back home to them. That's a shame. It really is.
We are chatting with State Senator Steve Harding, who is the Senate Minority Leader for our great state of Connecticut. And we're going to be diving into really over the next few weeks, kind of looking at as much as we can from the legislative session. It might have been a short session, but it was very impactful. And Senator Harding, you put a news release out there, or a comment out there, you know, the day after the legislative session, which happens every year. The governor did a press conference with all the media across Connecticut and overall was really touting the session as a success, the budget passing with to some degree bipartisan support. Because, again, it doesn't look good for anybody if anyone's like, no, we shouldn't put a bunch of money into education. We shouldn't put money back into the municipalities that have really high revals. So you understood why there was some bipartisan support. However, to me, it's a quick fix. And that's not coming from a political standpoint. That's coming from I cover the news and I look at Bridgeport, for example. I don't live in Bridgeport, but I cover it. I care about Bridgeport. There's over 19,000 students there. They have cut library services. They've cut bus services. So much has been impacted for our largest city. And I look at, that's great. The state of Connecticut is putting tens of millions of dollars into Bridgeport. It's fantastic. What are you going to tell that school district in 2027-28 when that money is not reinvested every single year? And the answer is there is no answer. It's hey, we're going to go through these cuts again unless Connecticut decides to invest that kind of money every single year versus if we had just adjusted the ECS formula, for example. And again, that's not a total fix all, but that was something that was on a bipartisan basis being screamed from municipalities across Connecticut. Hey, we have to focus on this. This is going to bring our property taxes down. This is going to help us to not have education cuts every single year, no matter what municipality you're in. And that didn't happen. And so I wanted to talk about what Republicans had put forward. I know that Democrats had rejected it. But what, in your opinion, could have happened instead of this budget to some degree that would have been more sustainable, at least more of a solution in the long run?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, the difference is it made it sustainable. It was a long-term fix, not a quick fix. And number two, it also returned the money back to the taxpayers in the form of income tax relief, which this budget didn't do. And I was frustrated because, I figured that, you know, the governor should be attuned to this. He just went out of his way to say, oh, Senate Republicans didn't propose a budget. Well, if he had just watched the proceedings upstairs the previous couple days, he would have seen that we proposed a budget that got shot down on party lines. But what our budget did is spend all the municipal aid that was spent in the Democrats' budget, make it long term. And we made it long term by keeping it under the spending cap. So how do you do that? Well, you got to find efficiencies and you got to find wasteful spending. And that's the difference between, you know, how the Democrats look at this budget and how the Republicans up in the Senate look at this budget. We said we want to provide that municipal relief, but we want to do it within fiscally responsible measures. Do it underneath the spending cap and also return money back to the taxpayers. So we cut wasteful spending. We cut, you know, the $60 million or so in pet projects that were still in this budget. Mind you, one of those appropriations was still to the organizations that are getting investigated by the FBI. That wasn't lost on me as well. Shouldn't be lost to the general public. We also, put in measures to make our bureaucracy more efficient. So putting in a hiring freeze, to get through this affordability crisis so we could provide some tax relief. The difference is, instead of utilizing the volatility cap and modifying it the way the Democrats did it, just to simply spend more money, we modified the volatility cap long term like they have done, but instead return it back to the taxpayers in annual tax relief. So it would be $700 million in income tax relief this budget year, which would have been provided this budget year to the people of this state. And then an additional $1.6 billion next year as well. And going forward, we just modify the volatility cap. Whatever that extra surplus is goes directly back to the taxpayers in the form of income tax relief long term. And so we thought this was actually a walk and chew gum at the same time. Fund municipalities, provide that educational investment, do it within the confines of our fiscal guardrails, and at the same exact time, return money back to taxpayer when they need it the most. You know, part of it, you know, it's good that we have a $4 billion general fund reserve. That's not a bad thing. It's obviously good fiscally. But it also means that generally, we've overtaxed the population of the state by about $4 billion. So really, that money should be returned in some form, not all of it, but in some form back to the taxpayers, their money. And right now they need it the most. I cannot tell you how many families I hear from, Melissa, you hear from throughout your listening area, saying how much they struggle here in this state. We have the third highest taxes, second highest electric rates in the country, third highest property taxes. It's crippling. And I'm sick and tired of seeing people, particularly senior citizens, you know, my parents' age and beyond, leaving this state for other states because they just cannot afford to live here in their retire years. And the only way we're going to turn that around is by making the state more affordable. This budget amendment we proposed was a good first step in making that happen.
So I'm glad you brought up amendment. So I was a little confused by this because it happens at the end of every session. There's always like an implementer bill. It always happens pretty much. But it's kind of a hodgepodge of a bunch of random stuff that basically gets put in. And I always find it really fascinating because we knew there was like which you usually don't see, is this talk over the weekend where the budget was basically secured. I mean, Monday of last week, we already knew like, okay, great. The governor's going to sign this. This is happening. But then Wednesday, final day of session, this 111-page amendment comes up, which I guess technically would tack on with the budget, right? It was very confusing to me, but this again was just kind of like, oh, hey, we're down to the last few hours, so let's just pass a bunch of stuff that is not related really to anything or anyone. There's a lot of random hodgepodge is the best way I could put it. Was there anything in there, though, that is concerning that people might have missed? And when I say people, certainly the general public, but even lawmakers. Because we've seen that before, right? Let's talk about it was, what, a couple of years ago where a hodgepodge of random stuff was put into something and that now, 2 years later, impacted this Aquarion deal to some degree. So is there anything in this implementer that might have been missed or might have been overlooked that could be a real problem down the road?
So there's a couple glaring things. One is there's a whole bunch of these appropriations once again to these third-party entities, which was not properly vetted, did not follow the systems in which we as Senate Republicans believe should be followed by going in front of the Appropriations Committee, getting vetted, finding out truly what the money's being used for. So a whole bunch of those appropriations in the bill without any level of vetting or understanding what these organizations are.
Real fast, though, Senator Harding, I thought they passed that bill that Governor Lamont, by the way, wanted, which was not allowing that anymore. I thought we can't do that anymore.
No, not true. And that's part of the reason I went on your program. We were discussing that bill and said, does it provide a little more oversight towards reviewing these expenditures? Sure. It does nothing to actually stop the front end from appropriating the money. Again, you know, the only way you're going to tackle this, which was not in the bill that passed, mind you, the only way you're going to truly tackle this is by getting all these organizations in front of the Appropriations Committee and making
that's
them
right. It wasn't part of that bill. You're right. Yep. I forgot about that. Part of the conversation.
That's part of the problem. Was there a little more oversight now over how the money's expended? Sure. And is that better than what we have? Fine. But it's still not a fix to the problem.
Right. The vetting process.
Correct. Unless we fix the vetting process on the front end, you're never going to stop this from happening. And as evidenced by the 111-page, and you know what ticks me off the most, Melissa, is the Democrats ran around the building telling everybody, oh, this is a budget fix. It was being marketed as like simply a budget fix. Well, so you had a fix. Your fix was 111 pages? come on, give me a break. And on top of that, has additional appropriations. On top of that, has these quirky, unknown personnel-related issues where it, like, protected certain individuals' jobs. Why are we doing that? Who are these individuals, and why are we passing laws in the legislature to say that they can't get terminated? Dark of night, midnight type of dealings. And it's actually exactly the reason why, if you read, we were talking about, you know, my run and after a marathon session. That's exactly the reason why we had a session one day that started out at around 11 o'clock and went till about 9 o'clock the next morning, was because they threw this 111-page implementer on us and said, well, we're running this tonight. And so in order to be somewhat transparent to the people, we felt like we had to go over that. And what was in it, and still, we're still unveiling, you know, truly what was in that.
Yeah.
And it's just bad governance. No matter what your party is, that is not good. And to run it at like 11 o'clock at night, so that, you know, legislators that have been up there at that point for 12 hours, haven't slept probably in almost 24 hours, now you're saying read this 111-page strike all amendment and delve into the details of each thing. And you start to wonder if that's done on purpose, frankly.
Well, Senator Harding, certainly, as I mentioned in the beginning of this, we are going to be diving into as much of the legislative session really in the coming weeks. I think there was a lot that happened, even though it was a short session. There's still a lot to unpack. And certainly, to your point earlier, and this is not from a partisan standpoint, it is a very important election year, you know, from gubernatorial to state senator, state reps. And I think this session was very telling for a lot of people. And certainly for the parties. And I think we have to keep diving into what really came out of this session so people are aware of it and think about that when they go to the polls in November. But certainly even just in day to day, understanding the impact on what it will mean for you as a taxpayer here in Connecticut. So I appreciate you, Senator Harding. I'm sure we will talk again very soon. And you already got your run in. So I guess I hope you have a great rest of your day. That doesn't include another 6-mile run.